Welcome to the Lister Health Talks podcast. Each month, listen in as the team focuses their discussion on relevant, relatable health content that empowers your health and the readiness of the force. In today's episode, we're talking with our physical therapy team about the ACFT and how they can help you train better, safer, and improve performance. Let's get started.
Welcome to this month's episode of Lister Health Talks. I'm your host, Lieutenant Colonel Stetter. This month, we're going to discuss the key pillars of health and fitness and performance and how it ties to overall your nutrition and well-being in life in general. I am joined by members of our excellent physical therapy department and returning member to the Lister Health Talk, Captain Pasco.
Hi, everyone. Happy to be here.
And Heather Goodson.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, ladies, both for joining us today. I'm excited for this month's topic. Most people in the Army just finished up the Army Combat Physical Fitness Test. And we know in many cases, it's almost like a New Year's resolution when October hits to do better at next month's ACFT. Ultimately, however, though, the ACFT ties a little bit more to just a semi-annual month. It does tie to working out overall fitness and well-being. But that being said, the new physical fitness test for some is a little bit more taxing for bodies. There's proper ways to train for it. There's proper ways to not train. And oftentimes in your department, you probably see people that have trained incorrectly or are too old, say at a larger PT session trying to do DT as a circuit within a larger workout. I know you saw quite a few members from my PT session a few months ago. Anyway, Heather, in your experience, what are some trends that come into the physical therapy department and common injuries you see from the ACFT?
So some of the common trends we see are lower extremity injuries and back injuries. Most of the time, this is from overuse training or just being a little too aggressive with what they're doing.
That's very true. I've actually had friends and myself that have overtrained and to the point of not being able to do a PT test when for them it's very hard not to be able to do a PT test. In fact, Captain Pasco, I believe you recently helped one of my friends be able to take a PT test for a critical event. What are some of the best ways that is to train? If you were recommending to, say, junior soldiers or even some of our civilians that are new to CrossFit, say, or something, how would you recommend they train for those?
So I think most people think that if I'm going to train for the ACFT, I have to go out and do ACFT events. So I have to deadlift, I have to do the sprint drag carry, I have to do the ball toss. But in reality, you should work those into your daily or your weekly workout. So just because you want to train deadlift doesn't mean you have to go out and do deadlift four times a week. Don't do that. That would be bad. We want you, maybe doing deadlift one time a week, one time every other week. It doesn't have to be deadlift, 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 or ball toss, ball toss, ball toss. It can be, like, you can work that into things. So if you're wanting to improve that, maybe improving your deadlift, you're looking at, like, single leg work, like unilateral work.
Other ways to be able to incorporate unilateral work would be things like split squats, step-ups, definitely things where you can use various types of equipment. You don't need a barbell. Mm-hmm. You can use things around the house, like a gallon of milk. There's definitely various ways to get workouts in without needing access to all the types of crazy equipment that you might need to do the specific ACFT.
So what I hear you both saying, though, technically, is like, it's all well and good to say ACFT and focus on ACFT, but in theory, the ACFT is much bigger. It's to develop healthy habits to overall be physically fit across multiple functional areas in life.
Yes.
And develop healthy routines in general. So I'm sure within your daily work lives and even your daily lives, you probably see folks that do have trouble developing a routine or other healthy habits. But what do you, or Captain Pasco, what do you think are some of the biggest obstacles people face in terms of getting a healthy exercise routine?
Well, just to kind of go off of what Heather's been talking about in terms of overtraining, I think being able to incorporate consistent activity, whatever that looks like, in your daily routine is most helpful. So for instance, we've taken a study over the past 10 years or so. They collect data from a variety of different populations within the Army and then the population at large. And they found that for people who aren't ultra marathoners or long distance runners, for instance, running more than 3 days a week actually triples injury rates. And instead of improving fitness, it actually causes a decrease in fitness overall. So if you're someone who's not training for a crazy marathon or some specific event, that would probably be the maximum number of times you want to run during the week, mostly because you want to incorporate types of cross training and different types of exercise across various functional domains. Another thing I would say, too, is, we are definitely living things made to move and not sit. So a variety of us, regardless of whatever MOS we have or civilian job we have, we do sit a large portion of the day. And so typically those seats, if you think about how we sit on a man-made object, putting us in a position that doesn't really align our core very well, doesn't align our spine very well. So it's no wonder that lately, in the past 20 years or so, we've found that one of the leading risk factors for any comorbidity, back pain, neck pain, anything like that, is actually sitting. So it's the frequency and duration of sitting is a huge risk factor for that. So there's different ways you can kind of change either how you're sitting or the way that you sit, as well as the duration that you're sitting. An easy thing that many workplaces have put into place is actually, you know, the 45-minute break every 45 minutes, stand up for 15 minutes. Now, many people think, you know, I'm young or I don't have back pain right now. I don't need to take that break every 45 minutes. But that's not the case. You know, the more you move, the better your body feels, but also the better your metabolism continues to act. And that helps prevent a lot of things, you know, down the road, just like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, things that cause a buildup of poor toxic metabolites in our body. So sitting less often and creating breaks in your day is really good. The second thing, as physical therapists, we'll definitely talk about is the way that we're sitting. So if we think about most of those ergonomic chairs, regardless of whatever lumbar support you have, at some point you're definitely able to slouch in them. And slouching just means you take your hips, imagine your hips are kind of like a soup bowl, and you tilt them backwards. And when we do that, we kind of call it you're hanging out, you're really just hanging on the meat of your body. You're not really utilizing your core. You're hanging it in position that's not really ideal. And especially if we're people who typically are very sedentary throughout the day, all of a sudden you go from sitting in a poor position to standing upright, and sometimes that can cause either new onsets of random pains or just kind of causes a decrease in fitness overall, because when you go to do that crazy workout that next day or have a nice like strongman circuit with a friend, all of a sudden you start to feel aches and things that weren't there before, and it might be because we just weren't moving our body often enough beforehand. So that's definitely some things I will recommend to anyone who things that they might have some risk factors or lifestyle things they'd like to change to make sure they have a healthier lifestyle.
That is excellent advice. We could even incorporate a competition into the clinic for different exercises every 15 minutes. Sometimes there's some myths or just misconceptions about physical therapy that it's only for those that are very broke or that it's hard to get into. What are you some of the myths that you'd like to dispel or talk about a little bit during the podcast?
I think one thing that's tossed around that we are known for is that, you know, we cause pain and we enjoy pain. It's definitely not true. What I think sometimes we have a misconception of what strain versus pain is. And a lot of times too, you know, especially if we haven't done a lot of strenuous activity lately, or we've been able to kind of get into a habit or groove of activity, we don't typically challenge our bodies in certain ways. So it's really hard to distinguish what strain is versus pain. And usually if you do have pain, you come into physical therapy, maybe the one or first couple visits, you're kind of getting through that pain point. And usually it's because tissues are inflamed. So that's a natural history and progression of that tissue to feel painful initially. But after that point, especially if you come to PT and we are able to clear you, we know that tissue is safe. We know it's not damaged. In fact, it's fully intact. It's fully inherently strong. And we're just going to help give it all the function that it needs. So to do that, we then cause strain to the tissue. So just know that that pain, we love pain type conception of PT is not true. And it's actually very fleeting usually. I think one thing that is really unique about physical therapy is it's all very patient-centered. So a patient will come to us and say, I have back pain. Well, we're going to say, okay, let's take a look at that back pain. But also, you know, what is it limiting you in doing? Mm-hmm. And so we're not going to give you a bunch of goals we want you to achieve. The patient, the person who ever presents the PT is actually the one who gets to dictate how we're going to go forward and get you to your goals. So it can be whatever you make of it. And that's why we would recommend that if you're having problems that you don't think it's necessarily fit for PT yet, you never know. It might be something that is very suitable to bring into a PT clinician and be able to get treatment for, and we can get you to your goals a lot faster.
Very well said. Probably setting goals or measurable goals or short-term goals is probably one of the biggest things to achieving many different things, whether it be health, fitness, improving physical therapy, or just in general daily life.
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything, or are there any other myths or barriers that you think soldiers face to get into physical therapy?
I think most soldiers think if I go to physical therapy, that's going to reflect poorly on me because it means I'm not fit for duty. So I have an injury, I have something wrong. Yeah, you might get on a profile for a little while, but it's probably better to do that, get the problem fixed, address the root cause of it, so that 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, that thing doesn't continue to be a problem, you know? But I think that's often the mindset is, oh, it's going to be so bad on me, I'm not going to get promoted, or I'm going to have negative repercussions. But in reality, from what I have seen in my tenure here, that has not been the reality.
No, and in reality, a lot of times physical therapy is preventative in nature for that. And then I know you guys have seen collectively a lot of success. And when folks come to your PT department, it correlates with them being on profile actually less time and returning to duty. Would you say that's true?
Absolutely. I think there's a lot of evidence, not just obviously anecdotally here, but, you know, in literature to say that early musculoskeletal care decreases the number of lost duty days overall, decreases time on profile, and also decreases severity and disability of the episode. And so that's definitely something that, you know, take, I would say, a proactive nature about whatever you might be dealing with. Another thing to just think about is the Army is changing and continually evolving. And right now, there's such support for holistic health and fitness, which encapsulates a lot of different domains of health, and one of which is physical. And a lot of that is really just injury prevention. And so there is so much support from your leaders, your peers, not just obviously in the Army, but in the private sector, for this new type of healthcare and idea of healthcare, which is injury prevention.
Sometimes physical therapy is hard to get into, but does everyone have to have a referral? Do you have a mechanism in which soldiers can come see you a little faster?
In our clinic, we have direct access walk-in clinic for Port Novosel. That's going to be Tuesday afternoons from 1300 to 1500. And then we run a sick call every morning that starts at 6 o'clock in the morning. So for either of those things, you do not need a referral. Hey, if it's an acute injury, I hurt my ankle, come in, let us get it looked at so that we're taking more of a proactive approach, just like what you were talking about.
And that's for all active duty service members. And then anyone in TRICARE Prime does need a referral. All beneficiaries and dependents for TRICARE Prime do need a referral to be seen off-post by physical therapists. And in Alabama, we have great off-post PT locations for those beneficiaries and dependents in our local Wiregrass area.
This is all amazing tips for folks. Ultimately, whether people are staying in the Army for 20 years or they're transitioning to civilian life, prioritizing health and focusing more on a preventive than a reactive is very important for your health now and, quite frankly, success and overall health beyond the military. But before we wrap up today, do you guys have any other comments that you'd like to make or final thoughts you'd like to leave our audience with?
One of the easiest and healthiest things that you can do every day is to get as many steps in as you can. And that doesn't mean you need to go buy a crazy smartwatch or a pedometer to count how many steps you get. But if you make walking a priority during your day, so whether that's walking to and from your car, walking your dog in the morning, walking your kids to and from school, we've found that those who get 10,000 steps a day have a significantly decreased risk of all comorbidities. So if you just think about taking charge of your life, one easy way to start getting active for any new SMART goals you might be getting, or maybe just to start increasing some of the activity every day that you're having in between work meetings, that's an easy thing you can start doing. Start walking a bit more.
And if you're already walking close to 10,000 steps a day, maybe try to work in, you know, like every time you get up from your desk, maybe you do like 10 air squats or squat to the chair, or, you know, just some other kind of movement, because movement is the best thing you can do for your body.
Motion is lotion.
Yes, that is what they say.
That is excellent. Thank you, ladies, for joining today. Before I wrap up, I just want to highlight a few practical tips that we've talked about that ultimately helps everyone perform their best that you've all said is consistency is the key. Mm. Make physical activity part of your daily activities, which is what you both have said repeatedly throughout today's podcast. Set goals, whether it be to improve your 2-mile time, whether it be to improve your plank or the ball throw, a small goal, or just going to the gym every day. Also, prioritize prevention and recovery. That's often, I suspect, that's often something that's missed. It definitely was in my world until a few years ago. But those are all important. And mostly, listen to your body and push yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But also know when to back off to prevent injuries.
Yes.
Thank you to our audience for tuning in to this episode of Lister Health Talks.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.
Oh, have a good day.
So just remember, stay strong, stay healthy, and keep pushing to be the best version of yourself. Until next time, Fort Novacell, our care keeps them in the air.
The Lister Health Talks podcast is produced by the Lister Army Health Clinic Public Affairs Office at Fort Novacell. You can catch all of our episodes on your favorite streaming platforms. Stay healthy, Fort Novacell.